Well, the pastor of a very proper and formal congregation in Scotland had an old woman in his church who was in the habit of just saying, shouting out, "Praise the Lord! Amen!" when anything particularly helpful was said from the pulpit. And frankly, it just got on this pastor's nerves a bit. So he went to visit her at her home. Happened to be early January. "Betty," he said, that was her name, Betty, "I'll make a bargain with you. You yell out, 'Praise the Lord,' just when I'm getting to the best places in my sermon. And frankly, when you do that, I lose my train of thought. If you'll just stop doing that for this year, I will give you 2 wool blankets at the end of the year." Now, Betty was poor financially. And so the offer of these warm blankets sounded very good to her. So she did her best to earn them over the year. Sunday after Sunday, she kept quiet. But then there was this one Sunday when there was a guest pastor who came to speak, who was just, he was just bubbling over with joy that day. And as he preached on forgiveness of sins and the blessings that follow, the vision of those blankets began to fade for Betty, and the joys of being a child of the one true King grew. And at last, she couldn't stand any longer. She jumped up and she cried out right there in the worship service, mind you, "Blankets or no blankets, hallelujah." Was that woman filled with the Holy Spirit? Is that what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit? Well, perhaps, but being full of the Holy Spirit means more than being able to shout "Praise the Lord" or "Hallelujah," although that is not a bad place to start. We're getting towards the end of our 3-month study of Paul's letter to several churches in and around the city of Ephesus. Ephesians is about your new identity in Jesus Christ. Above all and in all, you are now a child of the one true King. And that foundational fact changes everything about your life from now on. And part of your new identity is the possibility of living every day being full of the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean? Well, that's what we want to consider today, and so we want to read now the text that will guide our thinking. So grab your Bible, pull out one there from the pew rack, the blue ones, if you need to. Find it on your phone or your tablet, and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse 8, and I'll read through verse 21. Please give your careful attention to God's Word as we read it. Paul says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So the question is, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I want to suggest just a couple of answers today to kind of hang our thoughts on. First of all, it means to be captivated. It means to be captivated. Look with me again there at verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, does it seem a little odd to you that Paul, this great Christian leader, mentions being drunk in the same context with being filled with the Holy Spirit? What an interesting analogy or contrast. And whatever Paul's rationale, there are some interesting parallels between being drunk and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Just one example. We sometimes refer to someone who is drunk as being what? Under the influence, yes? Under the influence of alcohol. In other words, that person is captivated, controlled, dominated by the alcohol in his or her system. It now affects the mind, the body, the speech, the attitudes, the behavior of that person. Well, when a person is under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he or she is captivated, controlled, dominated by the Holy Spirit. So now the Holy Spirit affects your mind, your body, your words, your attitudes, your behavior, under the influence, captivated. Please notice with me at least four important facts about being filled with the Holy Spirit from verse 18. First, I want you to notice that this is a command. It's not a suggestion. God does not come to you and me and say, "May I suggest that you get filled with the Holy Spirit?" Just a thought. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Secondly, the object of the verb be filled is plural, meaning that every Christian is called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, Paul is not writing to an individual. He's not even writing to one church. He's probably writing to many believers in several churches around Ephesus. So this is a command given to every Christian. Therefore, it is something that every follower of Jesus should experience. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, there is clearly something deficient about your relationship with God. This is not an experience that is reserved for pastors or missionaries or Christian leaders. Being filled with the Spirit is available to every child of the one true King. Everyone. Third, notice that the verb is in the passive voice. Be filled with the Spirit. Isn't something that you work up or you produce on your own? This is something that the Holy Spirit does to you and in you, but let's not take that too far. This is not to suggest that it's totally passive. Again, remember our analogy. In order to get drunk, you have to what? Drink, right? Okay, so you are involved. And likewise, in order to be filled with the Spirit, you have to open yourself to His influence in your life. The fourth fact I would want to remind you of here is that the verb is in the present tense, which in the Greek language, that's the language that the New Testament was written in originally, it means continuous and ongoing action. So it's entirely correct to translate that verse as keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a once-and-done experience. Being filled with the Holy Spirit should keep on happening to you and me over and over and over again with increasing frequency the longer that you and I follow Jesus. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not about how much of the Holy Spirit you have, but rather how much the Holy Spirit has of you. When you start, you know, when you first start to follow Jesus, your spiritual capacity and mine is rather small. There are many areas of your life and mine that need to get cleaned out and corrected and pointed in a new positive direction. And as you grow and as you develop in your knowledge and in your experience of God, your spiritual capacity grows, and the Holy Spirit is always seeking to fill you to your current capacity level. Many of us have studied about, or we've watched documentaries about World War II in the Pacific Theater. Much of it was island warfare. And the U.S. military adopted a certain strategy as they fought in the Pacific. The Japanese military would control, let's say, a strategic island. And the Marines were sent in. Go ahead and put up the next slide, if you would. There we go. That white thing is an island. And the Japanese are there, and they would control this island that was strategic. Well, the Marines were sent in to establish a beachhead, yes? And then they would gradually take over more and more territory on that island until all the Japanese soldiers were killed or they had left the island. And in much the same way, when you put your trust in Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, it's as if the Holy Spirit establishes a spiritual beachhead in your life. But His job is far from over. He begins the process of claiming more and more territories, more and more sections of your life and mine. And really, it's a lifelong process. Essentially, that's what the Holy Spirit is seeking to do in your life and mine 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, year after year after year until we get to heaven. So how does a person get filled with the Holy Spirit? How does that happen? I wish I could recommend that you just go off somewhere and seek some sort of ecstatic experience with God. It would be nice to stand up here and offer to you six easy how-to steps that would lead you inevitably to being filled with God's Spirit. The real answer to that question is really rather simple and straightforward and, frankly, not very sensational. How are you filled with the Holy Spirit? My friends, it is everything about personal, daily surrender or submission to Jesus as your Lord. I know that word Lord is not one that we use a whole lot of outside of the church. And I suggest that when we say that Jesus is your Lord, that it means that He is your boss 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And yes, Jesus is your Savior because He died on the cross and He rose again for you. But my friend, He is also your boss and my boss. The most loving, the most generous, the most gracious boss that you and I will ever have, but your boss nonetheless. And He has every right to tell you and me how to live every aspect of our lives. And you know, I have found over the years that many Christians never quite understand that very important fact. It sounds simple enough, but we often miss it. You see, if you like the fact that Jesus is your Savior, that He died on the cross for you and rose again so that you could go to heaven, but you resist, you reject His lordship of your life, you don't really understand Jesus. You don't really understand what He came to do. Is that such a big deal? You know, I believe it is. If you do not recognize Jesus' lordship, my friend, over you personally, every area of your life, any area of your life, I question if He has ever truly become your Savior. Because you just don't get it. Jesus did not die on the cross so you could get a free get-out-of-hell card, but instead to make it possible for the Holy Spirit to fully captivate your life. in every way. And experiencing Jesus as the Lord or the boss of your life means constantly giving Him the most control of your life today that you're capable of giving Him at that point in time. You offer as much as you know about yourself today to as much as you know about God today. That's not static. It's not once and done. As you surrender to the Holy Spirit daily, He's going to keep on showing you areas of your life that need to be submitted to Him and turned over to Him and surrendered to Him. You see, a person who gets drunk surrenders himself or herself to alcohol. And as a follower of Jesus, you surrender yourself and your will to the Holy Spirit. Now, you know as well as I do that sometimes it's not just alcohol that people fill up their lives with. Some people fill up their lives with loving money or the things that money can buy. Others fill up their lives with ambitions to be successful in some area of life. Maybe their career, for example. But as a child of the one true King, you are called, I am called, we're expected to fill up our lives with a person. The Holy Spirit, being fully surrendered and submitted to Him. I want you to imagine with me this morning, two glasses of water up here and two packets of Alka-Seltzer. Can you see those? And I drop a packet of Alka-Seltzer with the wrapper on into one glass. What will happen? Well, not much of anything, right? Then I plop that unsealed packet into the second glass. What's going to happen then? Well, you've seen it. We're all going to watch it fill up with fizz, right? Now, both glasses have the Alka-Seltzer. Just like every follower of Jesus has the Holy Spirit. But notice how you can have the Holy Spirit and yet not be filled with Him. It's like having that Alka-Seltzer all wrapped up in that glass of water. And so you see, your goal and mine is to live in such a way as to unwrap the packaging around the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit within us. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit means that we allow Him to occupy and control every area of our lives. He affects everything. So the real question is, how much of you does the Holy Spirit truly have? Can you be filled with the Spirit all the time? I believe that you can. Jesus was described as being full of the Holy Spirit continually. You say, yeah, but that was Jesus. Well, hold on. The first Christian to die for his faith in Jesus, a man called Stephen, is described as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. The way it's talked about there is you got a sense that this was just how Stephen was all the time. Barnabas, a close associate of Paul in ministry, is described as a good man full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And so being continuously filled with the Holy Spirit ought to be a personal goal for you and me. Is it even possible to be filled with the Spirit all of the time? Yes. There are two things, at least, that we need to pay attention to if we're going to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, confess any personal sin the moment the Holy Spirit convicts you about it and turn away from it then and there. Don't excuse it. Don't rationalize it away. Why? Get rid of it immediately because the Bible makes it clear that the Holy Spirit cannot fill you if you're tolerating known sin in your life. But when you confess that sin and you're forgiven and the Holy Spirit can assume His rightful place in your life again. And then secondly, trust God in every area of your life and live by faith every day. Now, folks, let me tell you right now, that is a whole lot easier said than done. Okay? Yes, we all begin to follow Jesus by faith. We put our trust in Him for eternal life and for this life and for everything else. But folks, it is much harder to live by faith every day, day in and day out, and entrust every area of your life to Him. Your job or lack thereof. Your marriage, or lack thereof. Your kids, and the fact that they're just driving you nuts and they're messing up. Your finances, or lack thereof. Your health, or lack thereof. It's not easy at all to keep on trusting the Lord Jesus. But when you do, and as you do, you get filled with the Spirit and you stay filled with the Spirit. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, it means, first of all, to be captivated. But here's a second word I want to run by you. It also means to be activated. It means to be activated when you're full of the Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will empower and enable you to do something specific for God. Back in the Old Testament, God filled people with His Spirit for such diverse things as, prophesying to His people, or even leading His people into battle against an enemy, or even decorating the tabernacle, the place where God's people worshiped Him. Over in the New Testament, God filled people with His Spirit to be able to preach with great power or effectiveness, to perform miracles of healing on occasion. And if you've been a follower of Jesus for a while now, you've probably experienced this kind of Holy Spirit filling, even though you may not have known that's what it was. Maybe you were sharing the message of Jesus with someone. Maybe it was when you were facing some great life crisis. Maybe you were involved in some ministry opportunity, inside or outside the church. But you're just suddenly aware that you are now operating on a different, higher, better, more powerful level spiritually. And you know that what is happening to you and through you is beyond your own ability. And when the Holy Spirit fills you, He not only captivates you, He activates you as well. He has the power to get you and me moving and doing things that accomplish God's plan and purpose in some specific way. Again, think about that analogy of being drunk again. When a person is drunk, can you see the effects, though he or she doesn't have a drink in his or her hand at the moment? Of course you can. And by the same token, when you are full of the Holy Spirit, other people can see the effect the Spirit is having on you and in you, even though they can't see the Holy Spirit literally. And in the passage that we read today, Paul mentioned some of those effects, and I just want to run through them quickly today. I don't think he meant to be exhaustive, but there's enough here that you begin to get the idea pretty clearly. What does being filled with the Holy Spirit look like? Well, here's a few examples. When you're filled with the Spirit, you demonstrate godly attitudes and behavior. For once you were full of darkness, says Paul, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Now, if you were here last week, you remember we looked at chapter 4, verse 17 through verse 7 of chapter 5. And Paul uses the metaphor in those verses of taking off filthy, smelly clothes, your life before Jesus, and putting on clean, fresh clothes, your new life in Jesus. And here he changes the image or the metaphor to darkness and light. But the message is the same. If you're going to be full of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be full of the Holy Spirit, you have to get rid of some dark things. Like what? Well, he mentions those in the previous passage, didn't he? Stealing, lying, an uncontrolled temper, an abusive tongue, greed, holding grudges, sexual immorality. And if you're going to live into the light of what God has revealed to us, it's going to mean things like telling the truth and being financially responsible and controlling your anger and using your mouth to encourage people and being generous and practicing forgiveness and doing sex God's way instead of the way the culture says to do it. There's more examples here. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you live wisely. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. And so you scrutinize how you live. You constantly are examining your behavior and your attitudes, your values, your priorities to make sure that they line up with God. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you make the most of every and any opportunity that God gives you. What does that mean? Well, when God gives you the opportunity to touch someone's life in His name, you do it. I mean, you're ready. You're on call. When God gives you the opportunity to serve Him in some way, you do it. I mean, you're just constantly available to Jesus for His purposes. What will honor Him? What will promote Him? What will glorify Him? What will draw attention to Him? That's where you want to be. When you're filled with the Spirit, you have joy in your life. That's why I like that story about Betty at the beginning. A few of us could stand to be a little bit more joyful, yes? And sometimes that might show up on Sunday mornings in our singing. Amen, Karen? Yeah? Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. In fact, Spirit-filled Christians have a tendency to sing with joy, even if they can't carry a tune in a bucket. I mean, they just can't help themselves. They're just full of joy. It just seeps out of them. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're thankful. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's because Christians never have problems, right? Well, folks, Spirit-filled followers of Jesus have all the setbacks, the disappointments, the heartaches that everybody else does, but they have the ability to keep on being grateful to God under all conditions and in all circumstances. I don't mean that sort of artificial, bubbly, jolly face all the time kind of thankfulness. Spirit-filled gratitude is just able to keep on praising God in the midst of hard times. When you're filled with the Spirit, you have a submissive spirit. And further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You're easy to be with. You know, God takes away those sharp edges. You aren't defensive and prickly and argumentative and insisting on your rights all the time. You show forth a basic humility that makes it easy to be around you. You know how to listen. You build up and encourage those around you. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, here's a few examples of what it looks like. Well, here's a final thought. Churches can and should be filled with the Holy Spirit too. Not just individuals. Remember, folks, Paul was writing not to an individual. He was writing to several churches in and around Ephesus. You know, the churches that we read about in the New Testament were far, 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 far from perfect. But they were singing, they were joyful, they were spiritually expectant places. They actually expected God to show up. And they spent more time praising God than asking things of God. Is our church like that? A Spirit-filled church is discovering the joy of building up and improving the relationships of people in our midst. Yes, we're going to have our conflicts and our disagreements, but there's going to be this deep love for one another and submission to one another that's going to pervade the church. Is our church like that? A Spirit-filled church is always, 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 always outwardly focused. Always. Doesn't mean you don't take care of the people inside, but it's outwardly focused. It's focused on lost people. It's focused on hurting people. It's focused on struggling people and trying to point them to Jesus. It's not filled with people who ask, can I get my spiritual needs met here? But rather, people who are asking, how can we best reach people in Northland through this church? How can we best reach people even beyond Northland that need Jesus? Is our church like that? You always get as much of God as you really want. That's true of individuals. It's also true of a local church. My friend, let me ask you a very serious question. How much of God do you really want? Carl Road Baptist Church, how much of God do we really want? And that leads me to ask you and me a final question today. Do you really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? So, Pastor, of course. I mean, of course I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Really? Don't answer that question too quickly. It's a question that deserves more than an emotional, sentimental, hasty answer. Why? Because, folks, hear me on this. There is always a cost involved in being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is always a price to pay to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me try to underline that thought with a story. Even though Chuck Colson passed away a couple years ago now, he was much admired, and many people were deeply affected and influenced by him. If you're a younger person, you don't know that Chuck Colson was part of the Watergate conspiracy that brought down the administration of President Richard Nixon. He spent some months in jail as a result, but he became a devoted follower of Jesus. And he became a strong advocate for prison reform, prison ministry. And he became just a very influential Christian leader. And he tells a story about another man that he was able to influence by the name of Jack Eckerd. Jack Eckerd was the founder of one of the largest drug retail chain stores in the nation, Eckerd Drugs. In fact, when I was a teenager, I worked for a while in Eckerd Drugstore. And at its height, there were Jack Eckerd had about 1,500 different drugstores that were eventually sold off to CVS and Rite Aid. He's been gone now for about 10 years. But one day he was listening to watching television, and Chuck Colson came on, and Colson was talking about prison reform, prison ministry, and how Jesus Christ had the power to change the lives of prisoners. And so Eckerd got on the phone, he called Colson, and he invited him down to Florida to address some kind of a criminal justice crisis going on in Florida at the time. Colson agreed, he came down, and so Eckerd had set up this itinerary where they went to different cities in Florida, and Colson would speak about prison reform and prison ministry. And they would fly from these different cities in Florida on the personal Learjet of Jack Eckerd. At every stop, Eckerd would introduce Colson. And he would say something like this. This is my friend, Chuck Colson. He's born again. I'm not. I wish I were. And then he would sit down, and Colson would get up and speak. And then they'd get on the plane again and go to another city. And of course, during those short flights, Colson was talking to Jack Eckard about a relationship with the Lord. But during that whole time, he resisted. And over the next year, Chuck Colson just pestered Jack Eckard. Send him books, call him up on the phone. And then there was the one day when Jack Eckard called him and told him that he now believed in Jesus. And Colson was so excited. He says, well, that's wonderful. He says, you're born again. And Jack Eckard said, well, no, I'm not. I didn't feel anything. And Colson talked with him and prayed with him and reassured him. And after that conversation and that prayer, Chuck Colson said to him again, you're born again. And Jack Eckard said, I am. Marvelous. Here's the rest of the story. A few days after this conversation and this prayer, Jack Eckard was walking through one of his 1,500 retail drugstores. He had never noticed before the Playboy and the Penthouse magazines that were being sold in his store. Never even thought about it. Didn't bother him. But it bothered him that day. And it bothered him so much that he called in the president of his company and said, I want Playboy and Penthouse taken out of all of my stores. And the president of Eckerd Drugs gasped and said, Mr. Eckerd, you've got to be joking. We make a $3 million a year profit on those magazines. And Jack Eckerd looked at him and said, take them out of my stores. When Chuck Colson heard about this, he called up his friend Jack Eckerd and said, I want to use that story. He said, did you do this because of your commitment to Christ? And Jack Eckerd said, why else would I give away $3 million? The Lord would not let me off the hook. The Lord would not let me off the hook. Right there, right there, right there. That's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's what it looks like. That's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's not the end of the story. Over the next year, Jack Eckerd challenged other drug retail stores to take Playboy and Penthouse out of their stores. And in 1 year, those magazines were taken out of 11,000 retail outlets. Nobody did a march on Washington. Nobody got a petition going. Nobody tried to get a law passed in the legislature. It was just one child of the one true King who understood what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so you and I need to understand that to be filled with the Holy Spirit means that Jesus is our 7-day, 24-hour a day, 7-day a week, 365-year days a year boss. And we do what he says. And that's how we experience the fullness of God's Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, it is good to praise your name and to shout hallelujah. And frankly, Lord, we need to learn how to do that better here in this church. We really do. But Lord, at the end of the day, that's not what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Anybody can shout. But being filled with your Spirit means to look at each and every day that comes our way and say, Lord, this is your day. I want to be your man. I want to be your woman all day, every day. And so, Father God, we ask that you would help us to understand more deeply what it means to be filled with your Spirit. But Lord, more important than understanding, we need to live into this experience. Because Lord, frankly, being filled with your Spirit will cost us something. There will be a price to pay in order to be filled with your Spirit. But Lord, we want to be captivated and we want to be activated because we know that's part of our identity as children of the one true King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.